For most of my life, I had two homes, the one I grew up in and the one I lived in. When I went to visit my parents, I always said without thinking, I'm going home. After they died and we sold their house, I didn't plan to take much from it. I didn't think I needed anything, didn't think I had room. But when it came right down to it, I kept finding things I wanted, not because of their value, but because of what they meant. The hand-painted pitcher that sat on the kitchen counter for as long as I can remember, the chipped bowl my mother always used to serve salad, the painting that hung above the fireplace, the cabinet that held my mother's china. Now, when I look around and see these talismans, not merely of my youth, but of my life, they comfort me and make me feel at home in a way I never expected. The victims of Katrina had no chance to choose a memento from their past as the hurricane roared in and destroyed their homes. And as we watch the people of the Gulf Coast pick up the pieces of their lives, it's almost impossible to imagine all that has been lost, not just the buildings, but all the things that made a house a home. And just as there's a story behind each person touched by the storm, so there is a story for each home that is now in ruins. Today on Talk of the Nation, the meaning of home and how to rebuild a home when everything has been swept away. We invite you to join the conversation. We'd especially like to hear from Hurricane Katrina evacuees. What does home mean to you? Is it a physical object, a place, a person? Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And our email address is totn@npr.org. Joining us now is Ken Wagner, a sergeant major with the Louisiana National Guard. He returned home from Iraq in March and now is aiding in the New Orleans hurricane recovery. He joins us from Naval Air Station Belle Chasse, 10 miles south of New Orleans. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Sergeant, when you were in Iraq and you thought about going home, what did you think of? What really represented home to you?
Well, I will tell you that home is family and friends, a place where you hold memories of those most dear. It's a place where you feel secure and a shelter from the storms of life.
Yeah.
As a military person, you end up often with homes away from home. And I had pictures there of my family, my wife and my son, and a picture of my driveway is what I had hanging to remind me of home.
Of your driveway?
Yes. Of oddly, you know, to think of the trail that led down to the place where we lived at that time.
Uh-huh.
And then my wife, Marion, and son on a swing. In front of our house.
Yeah. You, as a member of the military, when you do move from place to place, what do you do to try and make each place feel like home? I mean, in Iraq, obviously, I'm sure you were in very close quarters. You had those pictures. Is that enough, or do you bring things from home, little mementos or objects at all?
Yes, I think it's common for most, especially with me, to carry an item or two with you that is an extension of your homes. Often military people move around a lot, and you carry family traditional things with you from location to location. It makes kind of wherever you're at home.
When you were in Iraq, did it ever really feel like home?
I can't say that Iraq felt like home. I was there on a mission, and we performed that mission. Several, and the soldiers that was in my task force, which had come out of Louisiana, 244th Command Aviation Battalion, we created our, I guess what we'd call your home there, is kind of amongst ourselves through the camaraderie of each other and knowing that your family was secure back in the U.S. and created our own, you know, our own environment.
So it's the people that surround you. The people that surround you then give you that sense of home when you're in a situation like that.
That's correct. That's a very good way to put it.
Yeah. When you came back to Louisiana, and it was in March, did home mean the same thing to you when you got back? Did it mean more?
It definitely meant more to have been that far from home for that length of time and disconnected to some extent from family and friends. And it made you value more everything within the USA than you did before.
Tell me how you and your family were affected by the hurricane. Did you lose your home?
We had an apartment on Jackson Barracks, which was destroyed, and everything in it.
Everything in it. All the objects that had all that meaning for you.
We were able to salvage a few things. We've not been able to do a full recovery, but for the most part, everything that was in it was if not swept out of it, is by the muck and stuff from that particular area. The water was pretty oily and was damaged pretty badly.
So what does that mean to you for someone who obviously was longing for home while you were in Iraq, just back not for very long, and now that home and so much that was in it destroyed? Just what does home mean for you now? What are you thinking of when you think of home?
I will tell you that, if I could elaborate on it, the initial thing is to make sure your family is secure.
Mm-hmm.
Once that you know in my case, my wife and son was at a safe location, you begin realizing things that you can't replace. Mementos from the war that I'd returned from, and then family pictures that cannot be replaced. Once you get past those things, then you begin to worry some about tangible and how you will recover. But at the end of it, you make a plan and continue living. You've got to go on living, and you begin anew. You know, you'll try to start back the same traditions. And get back some of the mementos, or and some you'll just start over.
Yeah. Well, do you expect us to stay in New Orleans, to start over in New Orleans, or are you going to move on to someplace else or as your home base?
Well, currently I am with the Louisiana National Guard. I'm a full-time member, and they are determining now where the temporary command post will be located, and I think there is a plan to some extent to return back to Jackson Barracks. It's not necessarily in my lane to know exactly. I don't know all the plan of that yet. But my wife and son are currently over by Fort Polk, and I believe that's where we'll work towards our permanent residence to be.
Do you have any sense of feeling any less sense of self because of the loss of your home?
It's a traumatic experience, and I don't know if I'd quite say I can understand your question in that, and some may feel that. It is definitely a blow, and I think everybody deals with it on their own way. Part of the deal is there are several Louisiana National Guard right now in that very area that, you know, was totally destroyed and are still on duty, and part of their family is still, you know, at motels. And once we get this cleaned up to start over, there's still very much serious business at hand, and once that's taken care of, then they'll start on their own.
Is there anything you were able to salvage from your apartment that you could bring with you to your next house, that if you have it and you put it someplace, or a photograph or anything like that, that you put it there, it'll give you a sense of home?
Yes, I was fortunate in the sense of returning to get some things operational we need. I had a photo album of my son that had been completely flooded, but fortunately it appears those pictures are going to be retainable. They're not by no means in the shape they was, but the very fact that you can see the pictures will feel like a treasure. Some of the metal objects, I had a coin collection from my military that once cleaned with some soap, and I think they'll recover. And some my wife, one of the pans, I think, from her grandmother, we're going to be able to salvage, and that's going to be about it.
Okay. Well, good luck in the future, and thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Ken Wagner is a sergeant major with the Louisiana National Guard, and he joins us from the Naval Air Station Belle Chasse, and that's about 10 miles south of New Orleans. Well, after having lost homes in the aftermath of Katrina, thousands are in the process of trying to find a new one or recreating what they lost. What does home mean? Is it a building? Is it a neighborhood? Is it the things you accumulate and surround yourself with? Is it a state of mind? Toby Israel has explored this question extensively as an environmental psychologist and the author of the book Someplace Like Home, Using Design Psychology to Create Ideal Places. She joins us now from Princeton, New Jersey. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
First of all, can you tell me what would your idea be of home? What is it that makes a home, a house, a home?
Home is not just a physical place. It's a psychological, emotional place that can exist in your mind and your heart. And also we can think of home as community, as a kind of social network. In fact, you could say that our very sense of self and home are profoundly intertwined. As a colleague of mine has said, the house can be a symbol of ourself. So when people's homes are destroyed, as has happened with Katrina, it's not just a loss of a physical place, but there can be a profound sense of loss of self, the feeling of being adrift.
Yeah. What did you think as you were watching the destruction of Katrina, watching the destruction of so many houses that were people's homes?
Well, you know, knowing how closely people relate and associate with their home, it was really devastating for me to see what was going on and to see it happening, particularly at such a mass scale, where you're not just talking about individual homes, but entire communities, cities, and so on.
What are the factors that would go into recreating a sense of home and a sense of community for people who have lost their homes now?
Well, I think, obviously, first of all, you need to make sure that people's basic needs are provided for. The idea that they have shelter obviously has to happen first. But then also there's understanding the psychological problem. I often think of this kind of loss of home as almost a loss when someone dies, and having the same kinds of stages of shock, denial, sadness and grief, acceptance, adjustment, kind of renewal, and then hope. And first and foremost, it's important for social workers, psychologists who are working with people to understand that that exists, and to help them, for example, reestablish as a next point social networks, that social sense of home that seems to be so important to people, as your National Guardman has just pointed out.
All right, we're going to take a short break. We're talking about home and what it means in our lives. Give us a call at 800-989-TALK. That's 800-989-8255. Or you can send us an email to totn@npr.org. I'm Lynn Neary. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington, sitting in for Neal Cohn, and today we're talking about home and its place in our lives. What does home mean to you? If you're a Katrina evacuee, or if you've lost your home and had to start over, we'd like to hear from you. Give us a call at 800-989-TALK. Our email address is totn@npr.org. And my guest is environmental psychologist Toby Israel. Let's take a call now. We're going to go to Taffy, and she's in Athens, Ohio. Hi, Taffy. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. You know, it's so obvious that across the nation and around the world, people's hearts and many people's wallets have opened up to all the suffering of the people in New Orleans and the Gulf Coast. But recently, I've been really concerned about it. There was a city break in front of my house, and 12 inches of water ended up in my basement. And I was able to go through my personal belongings, boxes of pictures, all my daughter's artwork, things that were really, really important to me. And I was able to go through them myself. And I am wondering, and there was a real grieving process that went along with it, and I'm wondering about all the people in New Orleans and, again, or along the Gulf Coast, will they be allowed to go through their own personal belongings so that they can go through that grieving process, or will they come back to bulldoze lots?
Well, I'm not sure I know the answer to that. I'm not sure Toby Israel does either. I know that in certain parishes, they're being allowed to go in to see what's there, to go through. We've seen that, you know, we've seen pictures of that on television. But let me ask Toby Israel, you know, the importance of that process that Taffy has just described, to be able to go through what is left. And thank you for your call, Taffy.
Thank you.
Well, of course, it's wonderful if you can do that, because one of the things we know is that it's not just the four walls of a house, but the special objects, again, as Ken Wagner was talking about, that are really crucial. Photos, as he mentioned, connect people to their family and to their place. And perhaps the most devastating is not just when the house is gone, but when the objects themselves are gone. So people may have to think creatively about a way to reconstruct those objects as well, perhaps getting photos from other family members that were near and dear, and having those now displayed in the new homes where you're living.
What about objects? I mean, some objects that, you know, I was just mentioning in my introduction, you know, something that I took from my parents' house after my parents died was it's a chipped bowl that my mother served salad in. It just, I looked at it and I said, oh, I want that bowl.
Right.
Somebody else would have absolutely thrown that bowl away.
Right. Well, obviously, if the objects are gone, they're gone. You can't bring them back. But I think the next best thing to do is say, well, what was it about that object or those objects that was meaningful to me? Was it something about sitting around in my mother's house or my grandparents' house and having a certain kind of meal or setting the table in a certain kind of way? So you can still recreate that feeling or that emotion of family or togetherness or whatever. So it's looking at what those objects meant to you.
We're talking about home. The number is 1-800-989-8255. What does home mean to you? What's the most? What do you think of when you hear the word home? Is it objects? Is it people? Is it the community that surrounds us? Let's take a call from Heather, and she's calling from Pomona, New Jersey.
Hi, Lynn. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I was thinking there's a china cabinet that I took from my parents' home that I am just unnaturally attached to. I don't even really like the look of it very much, but it was a clutter catch-all, and I had to have it, and it's moved through several states with me. But what I think of every day is what my two little boys, what memories are we making, and what things of mine are they going to want one day that'll be important to them?
Well, it's interesting, Heather. Did you expect to want that china cabinet even yourself until the moment came?
No, I didn't. Until I found out that family members had it for a yard sale, I had no interest in it. And then when it was almost gone, I had to have it.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's interesting what can somehow suddenly become endowed with meaning that you didn't even know had meaning.
Exactly.
Yeah. Thanks so much for your call, Heather.
Thank you.
Toby, that's interesting. The things that we take with us that we didn't even know meant anything to us, but that somehow certain objects can, just make you feel at home.
Right. Well, environmental psychologists have a theory that we all have what's called an environmental autobiography, our own very personal past history of place, and that we rework that past history of place in some way. We replicate it, we reject it, or we do some combination of the two. And what's interesting is that this is often done unconsciously. So suddenly you find a china cabinet. You didn't realize it meant so much to you. These kinds of things are kind of tucked away in our memory. So part of what we can do, and Katrina victims particularly can do, is start to explore their past history of place. Look at, for example, their environmental family tree. See what kinds of places they lived in the past and which kinds of places were favorite or special places to them, to their family, what kinds of homes were meaningful, what kinds of rooms, what kinds of objects. And relying on that environmental autobiography, reconstruct in the future places that they feel equally attached to.
Interesting. Eileen in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Hi, Eileen.
Hello. Yes, I was displaced by Hurricane Katrina.
And
my home, I was in my home for 25 years, and I have a lot of regrets over leaving the photographs. I have one album of my children and a very small album of my wedding. And the last time we evacuated, I took more photographs, so I'm disappointed that I didn't do that this time. But I'm very hopeful that I will be able to get back, even though my house is under 11 feet of water, and somehow I will be able to salvage some of those. I really think I will, and I'll start thinking creatively about how I can recreate my children's yearbooks and things like that. That's a big disappointment.
Yeah. Have you had any?
The furniture doesn't really mean that much to me, even though, I was happy with it. But it's just furniture.
Yeah.
The neighbors. I'm disappointed about the neighborhood, but I'm very hopeful.
Now, let me ask you, Eileen, do you expect to be able to go back there and reconstruct your home in the same place, or do you think you may have, or do you not know yet, or do you think you may have to go someplace completely different?
I think I may have to move on, and luckily my husband has a job in Baton Rouge. He was commuting anyway, so that's fine. You know, I'll just probably have to move on. But I'm concerned. I think it's more for my son. One son has expressed that he would like us to rebuild.
Yeah. Wait, when you think about that, when you think about rebuilding and creating a new home, what do you think about doing? How do you go about doing that?
I'm sorry, I'm losing you on my cell phone, but how would I redo it?
Yes, how would you recreate that sense of home for your kids?
I don't know. I haven't gotten to that point yet, I guess. I'm just thinking mainly now I'm focused on what I can salvage and, you know, realizing that I'll have to let go of a lot and really just reconnecting with people right now.
Right. All right. Well, good luck, Eileen, and thanks so much for calling.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Toby Israel, it's clear when you're right in the middle of a devastating trauma like a hurricane, you're thinking about a whole lot of things. First of all, just taking care of yourselves.
Right.
And then the rest comes after that.
Well, I mean, it's interesting. Of course, when you go to choose a new home, if you're in the position to have choice, first, of course, you want to look at getting a job, being able to sustain yourself. But beyond that, there are other choices that you can think about, other aspects of those choices. So, for example, what she was just saying about choosing a place where you have some kind of social network, some kind of social support. But the good news is this is also an opportunity to look ahead, to look in the future and say, okay, this is a time where we can do something different than perhaps we're doing. And your last caller referred to changing jobs. Her husband was having to commute too far. Well, okay, if you lived in a city in New Orleans, for example, were you happy living in a city? Perhaps you want to live in a more rural or suburban area. Was your house too big for you or too small for you? So on and so forth. So you can have this opportunity open up to make fresh choices.
All right. Let's take another call now from Carol in Southern Illinois. Hi, Carol.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Well, I lost my house several years back to a tornado, and soon the tornado hit and then the house burned. I lost everything. I had no insurance, nothing, because I was recovering from breast cancer at the time, couldn't afford it. But after losing everything at age 54, I remember driving away from the fire that night. I also live in a very rural area. There was no fire department. All I could think of was Janis Joplin's song, Freedom's Just Another Word for Nothing Left to Lose.
Yeah.
And it turned out okay. I mean, I lost some very wonderful things, but I learned two things. First of all, you only have what you've already given away. So many things returned to me by friends and family that I had given away. And you always get back what you've given out, but you get it back double. And the family support, the love, the absolute surrounding of my family and friends were what did it. I mean, I was just able, and I do have a smaller house now, and it's more me than probably the other house was, and I've found a great deal of peace from this horrible event.
Oh, that's comforting to hear that, I think, in the present situation. Thank you so much.
My heart goes out to all those people. I know exactly how they feel. But there is a light, there is hope, and you can make changes that maybe for some reason or another, like your speaker said, you just haven't been able to make because of the ties you have.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for your call and for that insight, Carol. Mm-hmm. An interesting insight, Toby Israel, that it's an opportunity perhaps to recreate something that's even more of a sense of home than what you had before.
That's right. I guess I feel that life is really very capricious. You know, we can't always control the things that happen to us, whether it be a terrible hurricane or illness that strikes us. And I think every one of your listeners can relate to some kind of tragic event that's occurred in their life or their lives of their loved ones. And you want to kind of get back a sense of control. And particularly with the Katrina victims, you want to have a sense of control. And you can start to make those choices to gain a sense of control. But I think most fully what it's really about is what your caller said, reaching out to other people and feeling that there is connection. And with that connection, you gain a sense of control and meaning and the fullness of life. And that's something that can't be taken away by just a hurricane or some random event.
Toby Israel is the author of Someplace Like Home, Using Design Psychology to Create Ideal Places. And we're discussing home and what home means and how to create or recreate a home after your house or your other home has been destroyed. If you would like to join our conversation, what does home mean to you? How would you begin to rebuild a home? The number is 1-800-989-8255. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Toby, one thing we're learning is that you can lose your home in many ways. Here's an email from Elizabeth, and she writes, "When I was away at my first year of college, our home was foreclosed on. To this day, I dream that I am looking through everything in the bedroom where I grew up, trying to decide what to save before I wake up, and it's all gone again. These are items of little importance, except that they were familiar and comforting. I probably would have forgotten most of them if I hadn't lost them under these circumstances." So the way you lose your home, the way you lose the objects in your home, really can affect you for the rest of your life.
Well, yes and no. I mean, it's interesting when you bring up the idea of dreams, because very often people have dreams about home or reconstructing home, building home, expanding home, even when they haven't lost a home or even when they're not changing a home in some way. And part of what we know is that these dreams can be synonymous with not just rebuilding or building a physical place, but building yourself, and that you can kind of reconstruct yourself in working through the idea of house as well. So again, it comes back to, this doesn't have to be, of course it's a terribly tragic circumstance, but it doesn't have to be the end of the road. And you can think about, okay, I'm not just rebuilding a structure that is my shelter, but a structure for my life and myself as a person.
Well, moved by the plight of Hurricane Katrina, one gallery in Boston is trying to represent the meaning of home through art. Pamela Clark Cochran is the owner and director of Clark Gallery in Boston, Massachusetts, and she joins us by phone from the gallery. Welcome, Pamela.
Oh, welcome. Thank you for having me.
Well, tell us a little bit about this exhibit. It's called Project Home. Well, where did this idea come from?
Well, we were installing a show of one of our gallery artists, Mary Jean Viano Crow, prior to the Labor Day weekend. And it turns out her title for her show is In Memory of the House. How poignant and serendipitous as we were watching the aftermath of the storm go through. And as we were looking at all the house images portrayed in her work, there are lots of drawings and sketches and cards and transfers from home imagery. I realized that maybe other artists could, again, bring a visual to what we were experiencing and trying to articulate our emotions. I put an email out to artists, and the first drawing, 8x8, went up on the wall, and asking artists if they'd like to share some of their drawings.
Is there a common theme that represents...
Project Home started as, what does home mean to you, or symbolize?
But is there a common theme that the artists are using to represent home?
Yes. Most of the pieces and artwork seem to have this wonderful square, call it the Monopoly house shape with the pyramid tip. and that's a reoccurring theme, whether it's disguised within reeds, like in Alana Manelson's small little painting on panel. One Stonehill College student has sent in a piece that she used with an ink pad and her thumbprint as she systematically put that print on the paper. She's drawn the house in the center, and it says, "Where I come from, glowing spirits, where I go back to." Text has played a role in many of the little pieces, and even some sculptures have come in. We've had to build a shelf on the wall in order to have some of the pieces.
Are some of them objects that aren't representational of a house itself, but just objects that represent home in some way, that are abstract?
Yeah, we have several that are still lifes, a teapot, rendered in watercolor with a blossom sitting in a vase. And one of the women that came in, by giving a donation to the Red Cross, you can take a drawing off the wall. She gave a donation, took it home. She came back in the next day and said, "I've got it on my mantle, and I look at it, and it's helping me, feel hope for the people that I know are suffering." It's been an experience for the artists to bring their visions to the wall and also for people to take them away.
Pamela Clark and Toby Israel, if you can stay with us, we're going to continue this discussion about what home means to us after a short break. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Right now, we're discussing the meaning of home. If you'd like to join our conversation, call us at 800-989-TALK, and our email address is totn@npr.org. My guests are Toby Israel, an environmental psychologist and author of Someplace Like Home, Using Design Psychology to Create Ideal Places, and Pamela Clark Cochran is the owner-director of the Clark Gallery in Boston, Massachusetts. And Toby, while Pamela's still with us, I'd just love to hear you comment on the exhibit at that gallery that she has described about home.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say I think it's great that she's doing what she's doing, because really the idea of being creative and somehow expressing what home is and what people have gone through can not only be a kind of therapeutic tool for bringing people past their grief, but can also help people create images of what they want to see in the future. The idea of archetypal home is interesting, what she was saying about people creating boxes with a little triangle on top. That's something that we see kind of around the world. And as a colleague of mine, Claire Cooper Marcus, has said, there seems to be a kind of universal need for a house form like the one she described, in which the self and family unit can be seen as separate, unique, private, and protected. So that's part of what may be coming out in these images.
All right, let's take one more call. Angela in Michigan. Hi, Angela.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
In 2002, I was a recipient of a Habitat for Humanity's house, and it felt like a home right away, and I feel that a large portion of that is due to the volunteers that came and worked and spent their time next to me building the house and just getting an instant sense of community in a new city. It was just really nice.
So there was that sense of community is part of what made you feel that this house that was being built for you was your home. And I know this is going to sound cliched and trite, but I guess part of what makes a home then is that sense that you're loved.
Yeah, and welcome to the community.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Angela.
No problem. Thank you.
Toby Israel, if you have a reaction to that?
Yeah, I'm so glad she called, because I love hearing about people who are doing community-based design work. What she's talking about with Habitat for Humanity is really that you're giving the chance for the community to, again, what I was saying before, take control of a situation that may be tragic. But here they have the chance to rebuild their own community. And I think that's so important psychologically for people. And part of what we see when we turn on the media is we see people who aren't victims contributing money, food, clothes, and so on. And we need to do this, not just to be good Samaritans, but to get a sense that life isn't just completely out of our control.
And Pamela Cochran, let me ask you one other thing. I know as part of your exhibit, and you mentioned this, that some of the pieces have writing along with them. Do you have some of that writing with you?
Well, one of the pieces, for instance, was an artist who came in, and most of them have been thankful because they've been able to channel some of their own emotions directly in how to grapple with the fact that people have lost their homes. And again, that wonderful house shape with an orange roof, and under it is listed home, and almost like a cryptic puzzle, it reads down, "May all be happy, may all be healthy, may all experience what is good, and let no one suffer." And that's written in a lovely blue on blue on blue as it gets richer, and with a flower coming up from the bottom of the paper. We've had notes that have come along with the pieces as well, and Lynn Dunbreck, who's up on the North Shore, sent a note saying, "Thank you, and here is my offering to the wall." She talks about a little island cottage standing inside among furnishings and personal belongings, gathering dust and starting to merge back into nothingness. "I felt my ancestors. Looking from within through the window to the outside of the house, I sense the infinite, the lives and the webs connecting past and present." And her submission was a digital or photographic image of a window pane, And as she had stressed the paper and made it look aged, you could just see out to this amazing vista and definitely feel the shelter of this home. And her final moment, she put this paper in wax, and the rough edges are now stiff as it kind of sits on the wall. It's only 6 inches by 6 inches. And several people just immediately found that connection to what home meant for them.
Well, Pamela Clark Cochran, thanks so much for that, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Pamela Clark Cochran is the owner and director of the Clark Gallery in Boston, Massachusetts. And Toby Israel, thanks to you also for joining us.
Thank you.
Toby Israel is an environmental psychologist and author of Someplace Like Home, Using Design Psychology to Create Ideal Places.